Ich schaff ein Rollstuhl. Ach, der ist auch ein Crossbar. Chip. Oh, Mr. Oliveira. What a cheeky goal.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, a.k.a. Chad Gunner, and we have a full house tonight with Shelly, Shabby, and Todd. We're trying something a little bit new, a new recording, so we're going to see how this goes. We've got a good guest tonight, and somebody who we have met in the community recently, started writing for the CFC website, has his own blog. And so he is here to talk with us a little bit, and that's Jed Henderson. Jed, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
So I tried to get Jed on earlier, and Jed was nervous and didn't want to come, didn't want to do a podcast. So I'm glad to have you on. Shelly and Shabby, they're recording in the same place. How are things? Where are you guys? Are you in the neighborhood or are you somewhere else? Are you over in Hickson?
No, we're in my house in Hickson.
Okay, you're on the other side of the river. And then our Bradley County contingent over there. Todd, how are things doing over in Bradley County?
After I just survived being muted by you and going without power for about 5 hours today, I'm actually doing pretty well.
Oh wow, you guys got hit that bad with the storm?
Well, that, and I live in the sticks, so I'm the last one to get power back. So
yeah, okay.
Luckily I sent up some smoke signals and let Volunteer Electric know.
Okay, great. So, Jed, let's throw it to you first. If you wouldn't mind, just talk a little bit about kind of how you started the blog and why you started the blog, and then how you got connected with the club for the website.
Sure. So, first of all, I'm a fan like everyone else. I have a share, so I'm a shareholder, and been following CFC for years now. Obviously, the best club in the country. I guess I started the blog because there was kind of a lack of written content. Like, you all have a great podcast in Section 109 as well, but I don't have the attention span to sit down and listen for an hour or so.
My God, are you on the right podcast?
Yeah. So if there's like a game and I want to know how it went, do I want to sit down and listen to an hour? Sometimes it's nice just to like sit down and read a real quick recap of what happened. So it was my senior year in college. I was bored of classes, tired of that. So I thought, why not just pick up a little hobby on the side? So that's kind of when I started writing. And then once my blog started getting going, I had reached out to Darrell beforehand to make sure that I wasn't infringing on copyrights or anything. But once the season started and I was writing, he just reached out and asked if I wanted to just write for the club website. So that's how that happened.
So I don't know if everybody else knows, but you know, Jed is a very smart individual and chose his institution that he attended. He chose very wisely. So Jed, you said you were in school. Where did you go to undergrad?
I was at the University of Alabama.
Yes. How about that?
Roll Tide.
I thought you were going to say it was UTC or Virginia Tech.
So. Nope.
All faith lost.
My condolences, sir.
We had a really rough season this past year, did we, Jed? We, mm-hmm.
Y'all struggling through those two losses. Oh no!
Oh, no. End of the world. Oh, no. Two losses.
It was rough.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Well, one reason? Well, I've wanted Jed to, like I said, to come on and talk a little bit about analytics and stats and stuff like that, but that's what we're going to do today. We'll save that maybe for another conversation. I asked him to be on this week was because he wrote a blog post about what he was excited about for the upcoming year, and so I thought it was a great idea to bring everybody together and maybe kick off this kind of new season of the pod, a new season for CFC, first with, okay, what are we excited about with the club and maybe some predictions and expectations that we have for 2023. So Jed, you've already written it. You don't have to, maybe you have come up with new expectations or new things you're excited about, but I'll go around and give everybody an opportunity to kind of talk about what you're excited about. So Jed, why don't we start with you with the men's team? What excites you most about 2023?
Well, I think the big thing is this is a project that we're seeing. We have Rod back. We have Marcus Nagelstad, our first signing, and then key players from the team are getting signed back. We're building something special here at CFC, I think. And then you look at the preseason, we're starting off against Atlanta United in January. That's a whole 2 months for Rod Underwood to build, to get the tactics that he wants. And I think we're going to see a really exciting team on the field in March. So I'm super excited for that.
So Todd, what are you excited about coming up for this year?
I think for the men's, I agree with Jed. I mean, I know this is to see the continuation and you know, watch this team morph into what Rod wants it to be. You know, I think for me, one of the things I'm looking forward to is basically to see if Rod, if he adapts or, you know, this year, like, is he going to have the same playing style or is this a case of, you know, last year was one playing style because of personnel, or are we going to see a different style of personnel come in? Does he try to get a bigger, a physically larger roster because of, you know, basically the team that put us out last year and, you know, their physicality, I think, was a big part of basically how does he build the team? Does he build this as a playoff team or does he build it as a team for the season?
And Shabby, what excites you most about this upcoming year with the men's team?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to echo a lot of what other people said. I'm excited because we're kind of moving beyond the building, you know, and this is no longer a new team, right? We're creating now something that will last. And so I am excited about that. I think we now know what Rod's preferred style of play is. We've, you know, made it very clear. This is our team. This is how we play. This is how we're going to do things. And now we're building the people for the right positions to play that game. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that come to fruition this season. And that's what I'm excited about.
Shelley?
Well, I guess I'll just bring it on home. Most of the same. I am excited to get a goalie signed. Gotta say, no one's mentioned that yet. This time last year, we were saying striker. I'm now a little concerned that it's going to be me or Matt in the goal in our infinite wisdom. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I definitely see it as a more of an expansion and not a development year. Not so, because I mean, we know how Rod is. We have a great coaching staff. We've got a great format going. Like Shabby said, we do know exactly the style of play that we use. We did lose a lot of players just based on who we've signed so far and who we had confirmation won't be returning next year. So I'm curious to see how those key players that we haven't signed yet will kind of fit those puzzle pieces that we need. I think that we can expect, you know, I'm looking forward for us to go far depth of play again, go into the finals. Hopefully we'll have a win overall because I was very proud of how we ended up last year. So it's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the overarching, you know, theme of everyone is kind of what's next. We've had the initial build. This is year two of the project with Rod and, you know, hopes that, you know, that we continue and make improvements and move forward. I think last year when we sat down and talked about what our expectations were for the men's team, we had talked about hosting a playoff game. That was kind of the over under for a good season. And we did that. We all know how that went. But we did host one. I think this year it's really get into the final or bust. I mean, it has to, and you know, it's, you know,
I'll go a little bit different than that. I won't say final. I say it's either win Supporters Shield, win the league in the regular season, which I think would also validate an amazing season,
yeah,
as well as and or win the cup at the end of the season.
So one or the other,
yeah.
Because we found out the end of last year that there was actually a trophy for finishing first, but who knows? This year there might not be.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it is NISA we're talking about. So
maybe they might have to hawk the trophies to pay the refs.
We're good.
I hope we would win the pay the ref trophy. Like, I hope we win that every year.
They could just pay the refs in trophies.
Yeah. Participation medals.
I gave everybody an agenda. We're going to get to that.
Hey, you can't stop the flow of the convo.
Exactly.
That's true.
You opened the door. You left it wide open.
That's true. It is all my fault. So moving on to the women's team, Jed, what excites you most about that?
Well, just the fact that this is season two. We know what to expect now, and players, as they're being recruited, they know what to expect. We have demonstrated that Chattanooga is the city to be in, that the crowds will show up for these games. So I'm excited to see we can recruit better players and we can see more on the field and more off the field. That's just something that's building, and it's really cool to see. I'm excited to see how it improves this year.
Yeah, Todd?
I think all of us are going to be kind of on the same one with this too. You know, it is all about, like, it's the fact that Coach Douglas is starting now with player recruitment and even going back to the fall for player recruitment, as opposed to last year when I think it was mid-April when Coach Douglas was put in place and had a mere weeks to get talent. So I know for a fact that we are already heavily recruiting and have some commitments that are going to be coming in. I think we can look for some news to come out hopefully in the next few weeks about that. So I just know that, you know, as competitive as we were last year, I think this year we're going to be pushing for to be competitive with Nashville. And that's, you know, that's got to be the goal for me.
Shabby?
I am so stoked to see season two. I feel like last year we put it out there. We manifested in the universe what it was we wanted. And that's great. And now, like, I want to see how big the snowball gets as it tumbles down the hill, because, like, we put all this beautiful, beautiful stuff out there. And now I want to see what it grabs, because I know there was so much excitement from players, from fans, from other people and other teams across the Southeast. So that's what I'm excited about. Like, I cannot wait to see what a killer team we put together, because people know this is going to be the premier spot for women to play.
Shelley?
Yeah, I cannot wait to start getting some of these signings listed. I am stoked about our tryouts. We actually get to have some open tryouts that are in a bigger span. I guess Todd said we are able to recruit earlier now. Obviously, we had a lot of things that happened last year, some roadblocks that just happened. It's just one of those things that may or may not have changed the trajectory of how our season played out. So I'm glad that we have more recruiting time. I'm hoping that we're going to see some of our older players that are still playing, you know, past CFC, maybe come back. And I really think that this year for the women especially is that now that we've put it out into the universe, there's only upwards to go. And I think because we're going to have more time to recruit, more time to train, that's going to equal more success on the field. I mean, obviously, we weren't expecting to win the whole thing last year. We made it to the playoffs, which we were excited for that.
Absolutely.
But honestly, I think that what makes me most excited is actually seeing us surviving to another year, because I know there were some naysayers that didn't think it was going to happen to begin with. And now we're actually putting a team out again. We're, you know, talking about having the open tryout. So I cannot wait. And I'll get really excited to see whenever CFC posts about, you know, we sold this many season passes and things like that. And I cannot wait to see. I want to put the charge out there. Let's manifest it into the world. I want to see twice as many people in the seats at Findlay for the women's matches at home and on the road this year as we saw last year. Like, so let's just all manifest that into the world that we're going to see.
Hey,
that
while happen. We're manifesting, can we manifest a bus?
Yes, manifest a bus.
I mentioned that. It seemed like that got
some Jeremy kind of wasn't thinking that was a bad idea when we talked to him. So, I mean, like, yeah, can we also manifest a willing bus driver that has insurance?
Look, we'll find somebody to get their CDLs, okay? Don't worry about that.
Yeah, if there's anyone from OGA out here listening, we know you all got the hookup on some bus drivers. Maybe we can work something out.
Well, we need the 423 schoolie. We need the school bus conversion.
I'm worried because we'll be on the short bus.
Yeah, what are you trying to say about us?
No. It will be a full size schoolie. It'll be okay. Great.
We'll see if Megabus will run us out. I'd rather us
roll up in like a 1987 GMC Mach 3 conversion van.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, with the captain's chairs.
Oh yes. Ooh. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh yeah. We had one of those.
Listen to you talking your privilege into the world.
Has some really cool painting on the side.
My conversion van privilege here. I do think
we used to always like, oh, who's driving? And then whoever's parents had the old Mark III conversion, that every kid wanted to get in that so you could watch the TV in the big
we didn't have TV in it though. We weren't that bougie, so
TV lighting inside of it too. We can just get all kinds of fun.
I'm telling you, the karaoke party bus.
Jed, in case you hadn't noticed, we got dreams, man.
Yeah, yes. We dream big. We manifest a lot. We believe in being positive.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Let's do it.
So yeah. So anyway, back to the women's team. I do think I'm excited to move beyond just their existence being a sign of success to some actual success on the field. Last year on the field was pretty rough. So I know that, and there are reasons for that. Todd mentioned it and others have mentioned it, but I'm looking forward to moving past just the existence being amazing too. Let's see some really good soccer on the field and, let's host a playoff game. That's kind of what I hope, that we have. So what I'm hearing from folks is for expectations, basically for the men's team is kind of win something, either the regular season or the tournament cup. And then for the women's team, what I put out there was hosting a playoff game. I don't know if you guys have any other expectations or for the women's team.
For me, to me, our competition needs to be Nashville. Like we need to be, pretty much dog walking any team out of Alabama and pretty much dragging and dragging Knoxville as well. So, yeah. And I think just a few key acquisitions in some very specific positions will really put us in a where we can do that. So I don't know, maybe I'm being unrealistic, but I also know that a few key players can make a huge difference.
It's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yep. Well, anything else how about off the field in terms of, just the club in general? What are we excited about for the men's or just the club in general? What are we excited about kind of off the field? Todd, you got anything?
Oh, you already said the travel bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're already getting that bus.
Travel bus.
No, I'll kind of like hit a few places here. As far as expectations go, like off the field, I'd like to see us average over 3,000 on the men's side this year. I think that is a lofty yet achievable goal. On the women's side, I'd like to see a 50% bump in attendance. I think that's, once again, achievable, especially if we're putting even a better quality product on the field. And I don't know. I don't really know how to put this. I guess I'm looking forward to what the club puts out there because every year they change things up. They do things differently. So I'm just looking forward to see what they're going to do differently this year, what surprises they have up their sleeve. You know, they've already got the Atlanta United friendly at home. Preseason game in just a couple of weeks. So, onward, up, we're bigger and better.
Jed, what do you have expectations or what are you excited about for the off-the-field stuff for the club?
I think for me, looking at the social media content has just been awesome. It feels like, the season ended and then we had the World Cup, but it feels like the season never really ended. Like we're not watching anything, but just the content that they're putting out, it feels like we're just getting ready for something even bigger and better. So I'm hoping we kind of capture the excitement of the World Cup, bring the soccer neutral into Finley Stadium. And I think we're in a really good position to do that.
Yeah. You mentioned, I think in your blog, you mentioned the Women's World Cup as being something that you were excited about. What do you think the impact of that will have on kind of the local folks being interested in coming and seeing some local football?
Well, I mean, that was how I got into it. 2014 was when I started getting into soccer, the World Cup then. And then I saw, wait, we have a team right here in Chattanooga. So that it got me many years ago, and I'm hoping it's the same thing for other people.
Anybody else really excited? I almost forgot that the Women's World Cup was actually going to be the very next summer.
Yeah, it's during the season. That's the thing is, I think that might drive our attendance number some too, because when people like to come out for U.S. soccer just because it's us against the world. So I think that might have an impact on us seeing more people, hopefully. I really hope, especially since we have watch parties all around near the stadium.
But are we going to have watch parties? I mean, it's in Australia. Is it going to be like, it's like going to be on like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it'll be, like South Korea
this time
was.
Around. We got lucky with 2 p.m. matches. So
when it was in 02, when it was in Japan and South Korea, you had your 2:30 a.m. and your 5 a.m. matches.
Yeah.
Because I specifically remember where I was for those.
Well, listen, there's nothing like a Waffle House watch party.
Wow, you're talking about speaking it into existence. That needs to happen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Matter of fact, somebody needs to tweet at Waffle House now and get them on this.
I will do it. After this, I will tweet to Waffle House.
Because remember, like when we played Belgium back in 14, like Waffle House went out there and started putting out tweets like how they loved all waffles except Belgian waffles. And, and there was no place for Belgian waffles in a Waffle House.
This is doable. Yeah. We can make this happen.
I have
we
a can projector make it happen, I
and
think.
A white tarp. We can make
That's
this
right.
happen.
Yeah, miracles can happen. We can manifest this too.
Yeah. We'll just host it ourselves. It'll be the 4-2-3
Waffle House watch party.
The Waffle
we can
move
to every location, every match. We have enough of them in town.
I don't know about every match. That's a lot. That's a lot of 2:30 and 5:30.
Well, the U.S. is playing. Let's just put it that way. The U.S.
Okay.
When the U.S.
Okay.
is playing. But something that hasn't been mentioned about off the field is that I'm excited to see what we're doing with community outreach, community engagement, because that was something that, you know, we talked with Jeremy about a little bit. And obviously it's a little bit harder in the women's season, and they did some stuff, but obviously we couldn't do all the things that we wanted to do. So I'm excited to see what CFC puts out there. You know, I really like giving back to the community. This club likes giving back to the community. So I really hope we're going to see some opportunities where fans and the club and players can come together to do some good in the community on days that we don't have matches. So I'm hoping we're going to see a little bit more of that. I mean, we do a great job with Cause of the Night, and we obviously see posts where the men's team was out doing different things in the community, but I really would put the charge out there and manifest into the world that maybe we can do some community action type events.
Yeah. I think
the name of this episode should be Club Manifest.
Oh man. Okay. I'm excited for, first of all, first and foremost, the one expectation I have is all taco truck, all Manganatas, like Manganatas.
Manganata Fest.
Manganatas at every match.
At every match.
That's your hashtag, Manganatas at every match.
We'll have those at the Waffle House watch parties, Jim.
You will. Yeah. I'll make them and I'll bring them. But yeah, Manganatas in every match. I would like to, you know, I think the food offerings could be improved a little bit. And I know that's really not the club. That's the stadium.
But it is a relationship, and I think that's a reasonable expectation, Jim. Like, we've harped on this in the past.
Yeah, and I think it's something that the stadium is looking at as well. Because, you know, when we talked to Brian, we talked about different things like that. So I feel like that's something we'll probably see an improvement in.
And the consistency of it as well, you know, just of who's there and, you know, regardless of what day of the week it is. And, you know, I'd say, man, if we could just have like a list of who's going to be there, if the vendors are going to change, then let us know what vendors are going to be there.
Just tell us. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like maybe post a few days before the match. Exactly. That way you can kind of plan accordingly.
Yeah, it would. That would be nice. So I know I can get my mangonada or not. That's just all. Yes. That's all I need to know.
Do you need to smuggle one in, or do you need? Right.
Well, the thing you don't want, Jim, is the expectation of mangonada and then arrive and no mangonada. That just starts you out on the wrong foot.
That is.
Hopefully, they wouldn't do you dirty like that.
Oh well, you know Jeremy and his anti-mangonada stance. So.
It's keeping the man down.
It's keeping us down. I don't get it.
You think Jeremy enjoys playing the heel in this Manganata wrestling match?
He says he doesn't understand, but he knows. He knows what he's done. Anyway. So yeah, I think some improvements there. I echo what you said, Todd. It would be nice to average over 3,000 and for the men's team and get over the 1,000 mark, maybe approaching 1,500 for the women would be great. It would be cool to push towards that attendance, that WPSL attendance record that Asheville City set. I think that would be nice to make ours at some point. So I'm hoping we could do that. Improvements on the women's side in terms of, I think the club did a really good job of treating the women like we used to treat the men when they were in MPSL. But I would like to see a little bit, even more so, in terms of lodging and the other amenities that we kind of give them. I do want everyone in the amateur women's soccer world to think of Chattanooga as the destination club to go to and want to play at. Unfortunately, Todd's favorite keeper has retired from playing, so yes. we can't get the former Vanderbilt. Now I've lost her name, Todd. What was
Sarah
her name
Fuller.
Again? Yeah. So yeah, Sarah won't be joining us. She is she's retired from playing. So
all the greats
maybe
can be wooed
switch
out
the
of
deal,
retirement.
Bob, manifesting something that he wants, maybe it could happen.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. We do have a lot of club news to talk about. We got a little teaser. We knew about the Atlanta match already, which is exciting. And it's cool. I think it's really cool to see their fans' response, especially the ones who have been Atlanta United fans for a while. They realize that this was the place, this was the first place they played, and to go and to acknowledge that and the history that the two clubs have had together. We've played four times, I think, now, or maybe this will be the fourth. So it was cool to see them be excited about coming to Chattanooga and playing. But then we got a little bit of extra news, a news dump from the club, surprised us a little bit with some other friendlies. So we've got, unfortunately some of them are closed, but
we know
that happens. So, Memphis is scared. Memphis doesn't want other people to see the CS beat them again. So
I still think they're quaking in their boots from last year.
So we head over to Memphis for a closed preseason match on the 11th. And then on the 18th of February, we've got another opponent that we don't know yet that's probably going to be closed. And then we head down to Birmingham for our annual trip down there to play the Legion in a closed. Now, the last time it was closed, they actually did show it. And it'd be cool if some of these maybe were shown.
That'd be great if they could.
Mm-hmm. And then we have two that that we don't know. We don't know who these teams are, but we've got a March 4th and March 18th, two home preseason. And that second one's interesting. I guess it's only open to folks with annual passes. So I guess the 4th you can buy a ticket.
You can see us play Wrexham.
I know we're playing Wrexham. You heard it here first.
We're manifesting this.
Right in the middle of their home stretch to win the season. They're going to make a transatlantic flight to play Chattanooga.
To play Chattanooga. It's important.
It's important, guys.
Listen, Chattanooga CFC is massive, Todd. So
that's true.
Manifest with us, Todd. Manifest.
But Wrexham is not, and they can't be flying back and forth across the Atlantic like that.
Hey, they've got some big.
They
big
can
sponsors now.
They do. Mm. That's fair.
They do. Yeah, they do. So anything excite you guys about the, anybody want to speak more about the preseason schedule?
The unknown. The unknown is amazing. But I agree with you. It is cool to see the Atlanta fans respond and recognize the history of the first game and coming up to Chattanooga. You know, I would argue that relationship could have been nurtured a little bit better from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it could have been better.
More could have happened.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about, you know, you're like, well, this is the fourth. And I was like, am I missing one? And I remember it was the close match at their training facility.
Yeah, right.
Was it last year? Yeah. Or the year before?
Yeah, it was last year.
Right, right. So,
well, so yeah. So the people listening, just so you all are aware, our TIFO team helped their supporters make their very first TIFO for Atlanta United. The one that we debuted that was a joint TIFO. Like, we helped them get that going.
It'd be interesting to see, like, if the 17s, if there's some original 17s that remember doing that and are still, like, you know, in important positions in their supporters group.
What I remember from that is somebody, I don't know if it was in the Chattahooligan section or somewhere, had a New England Patriots flag.
That was the biggest own of all time, and it was low key savage, right? Because you know, I remember I'm sitting up on the second just above, I guess it's like 204 or something like that, and I look down and I see this just like pole jutting 20 feet up in the air with a Patriots flag, and I'm like, what? Like, what is this? And it took a second. I was like, oh, it's still too soon. It's still too soon.
Some of their fans did not appreciate that.
Well, it was Arthur Blank was in the house. I mean, that was a literal middle finger extended right out of the 109.
So I don't know. I mean, it may not hit the same way if somebody put a Patriots flag up this time.
Probably not.
But that's what I remember, and I do remember one Atlanta United fan taking a lot of umbrage with that flag and got into a little verbal altercation with the person who was holding it outside on the concourse, which was interesting to see.
I think it's okay to mention now. We are going to have some more Atlanta United friendly content next week in the build up to that game. So we'll have a special guest on next weekend. He'll have big shoes to fill after having Jed on this week, but I'm sure he'll do his best. So stay tuned. We'll have some more in the build up to that match next week.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I hope it's a really good crowd. I've had some people come up to me and talk to me about it, that they've gotten their ticket. So, and if you look at if you go online to try to buy an annual pass right now, you can see where, like, the tickets that have been sold in the middle section, like 106 and 206.
Oh yeah, they have very few left.
They're full. I mean, it's almost completely full. So,
and I will say it's going to be a busy day that day too, because that's also the skillet curling competition. Literally, we have skillet curling and coming straight from skillet curling to the match.
Oh my gosh. And okay, you should talk a little bit more about that, because so I experienced skillet curling for the first time last year. And I did remind myself that I said last year that we would have a podcast team, and of course we don't. If you're listening to this and you have not been down to, it's called The Landing. Is that what they call it?
Ice on the Landing. Yeah, it's at the Choo Choo.
Ice on the Landing. Yeah, the Choo Choo. If you've not gone to see the skillet curling, you can go down, grab an adult beverage, and stand by the rink and watch
It's a perfect pregame for the match. I mean, it's Saturday and Sunday, but the proceeds go to the Chattanooga Area Food Bank. So, I mean, we started our first practices this past Monday, and it went swimmingly. my team is out for blood this year. We are going to
Wait. It's still curling, yes. So I assume it's on ice.
Yes.
It's usually,
so how does one practice on ice when I know
I will you tell you, Todd. At the rink. Well, Todd, so instead of having the curling stone, we throw a bacon press. And once you throw the bacon press, you've got a spray painted, Lodge's the sponsor, so they supply.
I was going to ask, was it Lodge Iron?
Yes. And we all have really funny names. Like, we're the Sweeping Beauties. That's my team name. There's Lodged and Loaded. There's all kinds of fun stuff. Anyway, so you throw the bacon press, and then you like your team picks whether you're going to be the spray-painted skillets or the not spray-painted skillets, and you toss the skillets at the bacon press. So same rules as curling. It's just that we use bacon presses and skillets instead of curling stones.
What does the champion of this tournament take home?
Lodge makes a team trophy out of a griddle, and they decorate it with all this stuff. And then you, the winners get a skillet that has a first place thing painted in the middle of it.
Cast iron skillets locally made.
And if you want
made,
to learn
South
about
Tennessee.
Skillet curling before that day, Monday nights are when we practice. Practices start at 6. Every team has like a half hour slot. So you're welcome to come out and drink and watch us practice as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's actually skillet bocce, to be honest. But
well, hey, don't ruin our fun. Yeah. Don't it's hate us because like, you ain't us.
it's more like skillet bocce than skillet curling, but.
It's a heck of a lot of fun to watch or to play. So
it is. It is. And there's technique to whether if you choose to throw it.
Turtle it or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Turtle. Did you say turtle it? Is that what? Yeah.
Turtle it's when you flip it upside down.
Upside down. Yeah. Because that inverts the angle, which kind of turns into it launches the other. There's a whole thing to it, Todd. There's a whole strategy to it. It's not just hurling
cast iron really from when we break one. We actually broke 3 skillets Monday night, I believe.
So Jed, have you seen the skillet curling? Have you been down to the landing to see that?
No, but it sounds like I may be doing that.
I think so.
Root for the sweeping beauties. We have really fun jerseys that we use, and we dress
them. Yep. And does the club have another team this year?
Actually had to bow out this year because of the. I mean, we're going to be literally going like the matches should be done.
It's the match. That's right. They can't. Yeah, they couldn't do that. Yeah.
I know. There's just no way. But they'll be back next year. But
yeah.
But those of us on my team, we literally are going to be playing and then scooting right over to Finley.
Yeah, that is amazing that it's going to be the same day. That will be a fun day out. So yeah, if you're listening to this, you've got to go down and check out the skillet curling before and then head to CBC for a little bit and then head into the match.
You'll definitely have plenty of time to do both.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. So the other, you know, we have had, I think Jed mentioned the social media content has been really, really good, right from the end of the season till now. And you know, one of the things that I think the club is doing better than, I'm biased, but I think we're probably doing it better than anybody else I've seen are the signing releases and
Nisa for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true. Jed,
so we've done a great job with them.
I mean,
the bar is pretty low, but I mean,
yes, we're the best in Nisa.
We're setting the course. I mean,
well, yes, that's,
we're the best at everything in Nisa, and that just goes without saying.
That is true.
That's true.
That is true. Jed, so any exciting we've mainly had 2 new signings and then I think 10 returners. 2 of those returners are academy contracts. So I think we've had 12 total. Yeah, anything excite you about the guys coming back or the new signings?
Yeah, I mean, we started off with Marcus. That's a statement. He could have probably easily gone to a USL championship team. So the fact that he's coming back is really big. And personally, the players that have already been announced that they're not returning, I am not too sad. Like, I think we kept the cream of the crop and we can add on to that. So I think we're off to a really good start.
I'm not going to say whether I'm sad or excited.
There's been no one news.
Well, okay. He's just a part of the community, right? We don't have to announce anything there.
He doesn't get a choice.
He just is.
Todd, what'd you say?
I think we had touched on this previously, you know, about the players that were leaving, and I think I am kind of sad to see them go because I always feel like every player that comes in is part of our community, is part of this family, And it's more than a saying that there, you know, there'll forever be a blue. That is what it is. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think for me, it's one of those things where I felt like the ones that have left, I felt like they were going to be moving on either for other opportunities or they just weren't like getting the playing time. And specifically, I look at a couple of the players and I know that on other squads, they could hold down starting positions. And so those opportunities exist for them out there and they need to go find them. You only get one shot at this dance. And so I wish them the best and they'll always hold a special spot. So for that part, you know, I am sad, but I'm also excited for who we're going to get to fill those spots, because I think we do have the ability to upgrade at a few positions. And unlike Shelly, I'm not as nervous about a goalkeeper as I was about a goal scorer last year. I was a wreck last year about a goal scorer.
I'm nervous about not having a goalie. I trust the process. I just would like to know we have a goalie son.
I think we've made the joke
about Jordan going in goal enough times. I don't think he wants us to manifest that into the world.
I think it's one of those things where this is no discredit to goalkeepers. I think you can find a quality goalkeeper easier than you can find a guy that's going to score 20 goals in a season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. You are incorrect in that matter.
Yeah. And all I'm looking for is somebody who is 6'4 and 6'4, 6'5, that's fine. Six. And can play the ball with both feet.
I mean, so, Peter Cech isn't doing much these days.
Yeah. Not yet. Well, I think he's still working for Chelsea, so we don't need any Chelsea trash.
He's one head injury away from.
He does. That's right. You're right. He does. He does play hockey. He's a hockey goalie.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So he has time to come and help us out.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we're not going to sign Giroux, so we might as well give you someone.
Hey, you know what? And shout out to one of our former youth academy contract players, Michael Beretta, who had an amazing season down at Dalton State this year with a big run into, I think they made it to the national quarterfinals. And that guy had an amazing season. Hey, I can see him coming back. I know he's going to continue his college career, but man, I can see that kid coming back to CFC in a few years.
Post-collegiate.
Yeah. He's been very, very good.
Yep. So far we've got two returners on the front line. Jed mentioned Marcus Naglestad, you know, as the, you know, coming back with the 20 plus goal contributions. Taylor is coming back on that left side. You know, I think we harped on a couple of times last year the I guess that the team seemed a little imbalanced, that we're a little left heavy. And so, you know, I think we had an opportunity to upgrade a little bit on the right side. And so we've got Mutaya Mwape, who goes by Mumu, I think is what I saw. So he looks pretty good as an inverted winger on the left. Excuse me, on the right.
That's going to sound amazing from the stands, by the way, every time like he makes a play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You hear it now.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what cheers.
I'll
be interested to see what cheers we have for him. And we have fullbacks.
Like real fullbacks.
John Partida and Joseph Perez. So we've actually had three new signings. I said two. We've had three new signings. Partida, Perez, and then Mwapwe. And then, you know, we've, you know, some, you know, so I think some, you know, with Alex coming back, Alex Jimenez and Damien, the kid, will be back. And then a couple of people who I'm interested to see if they could take their next step. Ethan Corrin and Hugo Martinez. You know, Ethan, I think, only really played in one of the friendlies. He's a midfielder, but he played as center back. So it'll be interesting to see if he can take that next step.
Fabian.
And Hugo, and Fabian, too. That's right. Yeah, Hugo. I'm sorry. Hugo is one of our I was looking at Alex and said Hugo. Alex McGrath is back. To provide some strength in the midfield. Then we have our two academy, Hugo and Fabian. Be interested to see if they get, you know, if they can get on the field for a little bit more time.
So I think it's a big year for Damien. I'm not going to lie. I think this is a big year for Damien. And I don't mean he's going to do big things, I mean, it's a big year for him and he needs to do things. And you know, last year, it's almost like a start over year for him last year. I noticed, like, right, he had to prove himself again to Rod, you know, the way he had to in earlier season. So this year's a year for him. He needs to, I think, become a consistent starter, to be honest with you. That needs to be his goal.
Well, I mean, clearly he did prove himself enough, though, that he was an early signing.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think he was on a multi-year deal.
Yeah, this is year two of a multi-year deal. So, he did come in and play some. I like you, Todd. I think he needs to be pushing for a significant playing time on the right wing. Or, I think you asked earlier. Like maybe it was just you and I talking. Is this a year where he's going to move centrally? We'll see if he does. Can he take that Ian Sarah role? I don't know.
You better be hitting that weight room. He better be. Spent the all season getting yoked, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Call Barry Bonds, get on the cream and the clear. You do what you got to do, kid.
All of the kids that listen to the podcast.
Yeah, we're down with that lingo now. Yeah.
Yeah. That phrase will never be used again because I used it. It is officially retired.
We did have some news. One of the players that we had told, we were told was not coming back or wasn't, we weren't really sure, was Tate Robertson. News came out today that he will be joining the new Lexington team, the new League One team in Lexington. So yeah. It's closer to home for him. And so I know he's excited about playing close to family. And but we wish him the best. He's had 2 years here. He will be missed in our midfield and as someone who can play an outside back role as well. So we wish him the best and hope that we see him back in the stands at some point, cheering on the Blues. I did forget to mention the anchor of our midfield that will also be back, Richard Dixon.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we all believe he was the defensive player of the year last year for NISA, not just for us. And I'm glad to see him back. So, but we've got a lot left to go. We need some center backs. We don't have any. We need some more meat in the midfield and some depth up top. So,
is anybody going to be surprised if we see some of the players that were released or not re-signed? At the end of the season, picked back up before we head in.
I'm expecting to see some of them back.
Yeah, same, I'm expecting same. To see some. I think honestly, I would not be shocked whatsoever. I mean, obviously, next weekend are the tryouts. Friday's the invite, and then Saturday's the open. So I would not be shocked if they didn't get invited. I wouldn't be shocked if we still saw some of them coming to the open tryouts.
Well, I think some of them are testing waters to see if they can get move up a league, maybe like testing the championship waters or whatever,
Exactly.
Oh, by the way,
I would not be shocked whatsoever. And, now that we already have the signings that we do have, hopefully most of them will be at the tryouts next weekend. And so they can see some of those people coming and playing and see how they mesh with what team we have so far. That would not shock me one bit.
Can we also get going back to the Tate Robertson signing by the USL, can we get a good laugh out of the continued unwritten policy of USL clubs not to spit the name of Chattanooga FC out on the social?
They didn't say
Anissa Club. Oh, and then like, what was the other one? Oh, Charlotte.
Yeah. They fixed it though. In their write up, they said that he played for two NISA clubs, Stumptown Athletic and Charlotte FC. It's like so close, fellas. You were so close.
They don't even get a participation medal.
I did my salty Chattagooner thing and called them out, and it did get fixed. They did acknowledge our existence.
Well, just further proof that our social media team is better.
Yes.
So we some birdies told me that we might have some NISA news today, and we ended up not getting the NISA news that we had hoped for. We did get some NISA
probably
news.
Probably the NISA news we deserve.
There it is. When you put faith and hope in NISA, you're going to get what you deserve. I'm just going to be honest.
Heartache. Heartache is what you're going to get. Right.
So NISA got called out, y'all. Mm-hmm. I know all of you saw this. The PSRA, that's the Professional Soccer Referees Association, finally came out and said, you know, enough's enough. And we have known, or at least there were stories out last year that several refs had not been paid. You saw our friends up north comment on it frequently about the fact that refs were not getting paid. We were we were all in the understanding that it had gotten better, and I know it had because, you know, some of our own staff are helping with that.
Mm-hmm. My question is, do we know, does NISA pay these wages, or does it come from the club who's hosting the game?
I'm assuming NISA was paying. Yeah.
And the thing is that if we keep doing crap like this, we're not going to have any officials to work our matches.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, this is just incredibly disappointing. That's probably an understatement because, you know, didn't the commissioner go on to protagonists and say that this situation had been taken care of?
Uh-huh. And it wouldn't happen again.
Don't make promises
you can't keep.
Right. And so now we're talking about a couple of months before the season starts.
The statement actually says that referees should consider not doing matches for the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean,
there's $10,000 collectively out there in outstanding fees to a dozen refs. Like, that's
some significant money.
Yeah.
And some of these refs, like, they are still in school. And so, like, this is pretty good income for them to have. So, I mean, come on now. Furthering my proof that we need to get rid of some of the people in NISA. Just telling you.
Yeah, I mean, this sentence, while officials generally determine their own availability for a league match, we find it necessary to bring these payment issues to light so that officials, as well as fans and stakeholders across the country, are aware of the working conditions for NISA matches. Like,
I think the conditions are fine. It sounds like the pay's the problem.
Well, yeah. I don't even know if the conditions are fine.
I don't either.
Well, I mean, at least we give them air-conditioned locker rooms.
Like, they probably get a pup tent in L.A.
Yeah. I mean, others just give them a tent or a bathroom, you know? I mean, at least we actually give them good conditions.
Sure, they give them bathrooms. That's true. There's some places where they go play, we've seen the fields don't have bathrooms.
Do you get to change in your car, and we'll give you a porta-potty. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It goes back to the continuing struggle for us to claim that we're in a legitimate league.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is not the news, like you said, this is not the news that we wanted, but it's probably the news that we deserve. So,
Which makes us wonder, how is NISA going to dig themselves out of this one?
So I guess I'll ask you, Jed, I'll just start with you. What expectations do you have for NISA this next season?
Well, regarding this, I expect them to ignore it. And then,
realistic expectations.
Yeah. I mean,
you release the schedule in a couple of days, everybody forgets, and then it'll just kick the can down the road. And that's what I expect. But I am hoping that whenever we get our teams, which I hope is soon, I feel in my heart that we will not have dropouts this season. I think this is the time. I can feel it.
You can feel it?
Yes.
Everybody
who's confident as you, Jen.
Yeah. I really hope for a year of no tax evasion, fraudulent
visas. I'm manifesting it. We're not helping out.
What about, how do you, hey, Jed, how do you feel about
our word for 2023 is mess.
Hey, Jed, how do you feel about the rise of Thousand Oaks FC?
They don't even exist anymore, right?
Right, yeah, it's Calib. Yep.
I'm all for it. It's a cool logo. We'll see him next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So your hope for Nisa is whoever starts the season finishes the season.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and obviously one of the reasons why there was a little bit of a delay. Who knows all the reasons? Well, technically, Nisa has not missed a deadline yet. My understanding is they met the deadline for the Open Cup deadline for December 31st some people know what teams are playing. We just don't know. And then the deadline for the season, the schedule, is not actually until the end of this month. So they're not behind in terms of deadlines. They are behind in terms of that other professional leagues have already put out their schedules, have already put out what teams are playing, have already put out how the competition is going to be played. So they're behind, but
So what you're saying, though, is that they're behind in professionalism.
Exactly. Well,
that's just Nisa being Nisa.
Yeah, that's just Nisa.
The fact that Chattanooga FC already released their preseason schedule all the way out to March tells me that we know a starting date. And
yeah.
So
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the clubs probably know at least, you know, like opening days and that kind of stuff. I'm willing to bet that the clubs know a good portion of the schedule, if not the entire schedule. And the only thing they're waiting on, I'm willing to bet what they're waiting on is for LA to tell them that they've got. Well, they tell themselves because. The owner of LA kind of owns the league. You know, that they've got places to play. That's probably the only thing.
That's fair.
By the way, do we know if there was any resolution ever with Cal United and LA Los Dos?
So, there was resolution between LA 2 and in Orange County. Orange County has a place to play.
Well, but that's the question. Does Cal United still have
I don't know. They never entered into that conversation. They never really commented on it that much other than to say, I think they released a statement initially when it came out, but they've not really made any statements. They've been kind of radio silent.
I mean, you're making them sound like they're the club that sneaks in, like when the lights are out and the other two teams aren't there to play their game.
Like the boogeyman.
Yeah, exactly. I can see those kids jump the fence and we're playing soccer here again.
Hey, I mean, they played one of their matches on like field 17. Remember that? It was out. It was like you could see the stadium in the background.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
Carl, just maintain this shot with the stadium in the background. It's the same thing. You'll never know.
right. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know that they have been absent from the social media kind of channels. We've not really heard from them. Now we know that, or there's this constant rumor that they're for sale, and so who knows what's going on? But
I mean, that's really scary, right? You have a club like that, and they're living loss, and still, there may not be.
Jokes aside, though, they are dealing with a lot of weather, natural disaster issues right now in California. So
that's
they
could California.
Be a little bit. Jokes aside, they could be a little preoccupied with some of that stuff.
Yeah, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, that's fine. But,
it's very kind.
I'm trying to be kind. Very kind.
Hey, I went without power for 5 hours today. I'm dealing with some crap here too.
But you're here.
But you're
That's
here.
That's right. What's their excuse?
You and your fort.
And whatever happened to the possible merger of Flower City?
Oh, yeah. What happened to our pulse flower?
Flower pulse. Yeah. Pulse flower.
I don't.
Pulse flower. Get it right. It's pulse flower.
I don't think I anticipate only one of those teams will be on our list, and it's not going to be because of a merger.
Yeah,
the financial.
Yeah, so
who are your bets on?
I'm pretty sure that we're if we got another logo for the Pulse, that it would just be a flat line.
Jim.
Yep.
Well, that being said,
quality.
If that is the case, do you think any of their players who are our former players might find their way at our tryouts next weekend?
No, I don't know. That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting.
If we see like the entire roster from Flowers, from Pulse at our open tryouts. Yeah,
that would be interesting.
That's fair.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. So we didn't get the news we wanted. At least as far as I've been watching the Twitter just in case somebody at the NISA office doesn't trip and release something at 8:24 Eastern time, which is, would be typical. So I don't have anything. So the other thing I've got for everybody is, how I want to end all of our episodes from here on out is, that's what's making us smile this week. And so I'll start with our guest, Jed. This could be something you've seen or watched or read. Does not have to be soccer related. What has made you smile this week, Jed?
Going back to the thought of CFC in the community, I've been doing the Chattanooga Football League, and that's just been so much fun, going out to Highland Park and playing. So we just started a new season on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah?
My legs hurt a little bit, but it made me smile, so yeah.
Are we going to see you at the open tryouts, Jed? Are you going to be trying?
No, I'll keep my dignity in one piece.
All right, Shabby, what's making you smile this week?
I am about to go to Hawaii on vacation, and that is putting a big old smile on my face.
I bet.
Jeez.
I bet. Which island? Where are you going in Hawaii?
Actually, island hopping. We're starting in Maui and then going to the Big Island and then finishing up in Oahu.
Yeah, you gonna go surfing? Are we gonna have pictures of you hanging 10 on a longboard?
Not me, but I would not be surprised if you see some Topher surfing pictures.
Awesome, some Topher surfing. That'd be great. I can't wait. Shelley, what's making you smile this week?
I just got back literally a week ago today from a really awesome trip to Finland. So it was amazing. Filled my CISV bucket, and it's kicking off our 2023 recruitment for CISV. So that, I just like it. Yeah, it was a great trip. I got to see some people that I connected with when I was there the first time. So yeah.
So any Northern Lights viewing?
Yeah, actually, I did get to see a little bit. We thought that our eyes were deceiving us because in Helsinki at this time of year, it's not the best time to see it.
Uh-huh.
But we looked, we're like, no, we think that might be the case. It actually was. Like, it was just like a very, very faint. So I can say that I saw them.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I'm planning a trip hopefully in November to Scotland, and I want to come back through Iceland if I do. So that I'll be able to like really see them.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Todd, what's making you smile this week?
Just going back to what she said, I thought I saw Northern Lights one time. Turned out I was just seeing a radiation cloud over Sequoia. Yeah, I was upset too. I'll tell you what's making me happy this week is the return. It's a return of high school soccer. As everybody knows, it's really big down here in Northwest Georgia. So, looking forward to that. A lot of big storylines coming this week. We're having my other side hustle. I'm not going to plug it. Well, I guess I can. Monday night.
Plug it.
Monday night football, FUTBOL. We cover high school soccer down in Dalton. So all the coaches are really excited. And, Northwest Georgia has produced three players for us now through some academy signings. So five. So when big things happen down here, it's potentially big things for CFC, and as part of our community, and I love covering it.
Awesome. Well, what's making me happy this week? I like heist films for a summer. I've discovered that I really like heist films, and there's a new series on Netflix called Kaleidoscope.
Yes.
I've seen it. Is it good?
So it is good.
I'm with my suggestions.
They say that you can watch them in any order. I will tell you that you have to watch the white and pink episodes. Either those need to be your last two. And some people watch pink first, some people watch white first. If you watch pink last,
they're probably by color.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you
come up in different orders on your screen too. So like what comes up first for you might not be what comes up first for me.
Yeah, correct. So we went completely rogue and watched in our own order, and we watched pink last. And that pink, and I'm just going to tell you, if for those of you who have already watched it, you'll know what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't seen it, I need you to be mentally prepared for the pink episode. That's all I'm going to say. It is a lot, but it's fun. It's like, you know, it's kind of like Money Heist and Ocean's 11 and all the other. I mean, it's got some fairly typical heist tropes. But it's fun, and you can really watch it in a bunch of orders. I've talked to some friends who've watched it in different orders, and we've talked about it. And so, yeah, I will give it a big thumbs up. Go out and watch it. Just you can watch it in really any order. Just make sure you watch pink and white as the last two.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that'll be it for tonight. Jed, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you and find your writing on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at JedHenderson6, I think. I never look at my handle. But I write at sceniccityfootballblog.com, and then sometimes I put content at ChattanoogaFC.com.
That's great. Shabby, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
Yep, I'm on Twitter at Shabby Bell, ShabbyBelle.
Shelly?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
Todd, where can they find your musings?
At Great Footballer on Twitter. And, of course, you can hit us up on the 423 Soccer Pod over on the Facebooks, as well as you can find some of my content on Monday Night Football, FUTV.
Awesome. Awesome. You can find me if you're looking, or you can mute me, block me, whatever you need to do, at Chattagooner on the Twitter. And with that, folks, you know, I guess we'll see you next week. Todd already gave you a little bit of a hint. We do have a special guest next time to talk a little bit more about the Atlanta United friendly. We're really excited. And so be on the lookout for that next week. And until then, y'all, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Oh, it's Lord. Oh, got it. What a shot from Wilshere. Off the outside of the crossbar. Chip. Oh, Stradivari. What a cheeky goal.